Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports of the Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on? Mac? Guessing Mac is still depressed about what happened last night.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear now.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing better than yesterday, my friend.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yep. Yep, it was the heat of the moment that, you know, we're in the heat of the night yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Disappointing ending, but it was a great season, but we'll get into it.
That's right. We'll give you our thoughts. We're going to get into our thoughts momentarily. Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in, checking out the show. On today's show, obviously, we're going to talk about the Knicks' heartbreaking loss last night. We'll talk about the Mets and the Yankees, what they're doing right now. A little bit of, recap of Backlash and what's going on in, WWE. And stuff in wrestling. But, of course, most importantly, you know, we want to hear from you. Feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk to us about any of these topics. You want to get off your chest, we're the perfect place to for you to express yourself. And you know what we do, we've been doing this show for 2009, and what we do, it's in our DNA, man. Just like we bleed, you know, we live and breathe and bleed orange and blue. You know, we the only language we speak is brutal honesty. So you want to express yourself, this is the perfect forum for you, I should say. So we'd love to hear from you. With that said, man, let's address the elephant in the room. We're not going to sweep it under the rug because I think it would be kind of hard to sweep an elephant under the rug. But, you know, in any case, let's just get right into this, man. It stinks, man. You know, the Knicks, you know, this is the farthest the Knicks have done in 10 years. And, ironically, the last time the Knicks went to the Eastern Conference Finals, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals 10 years ago. So we haven't really made it. You know, if you're looking at it objectively, we haven't really made any progress on that front
second round.
Out of the second round. So
yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just, you know, starting the season, you would sign up for the ending we had, you know, the season we had. Brunson, you know, he became one of the greatest free agency acquisitions in the history of the game. Like, people were criticizing the Knicks, you know, when they signed him in, like, what, in July. They're like, oh, man, don't go after this guy. You need a bona fide superstar. You know, this guy isn't going to do nothing. He's not going to be that good. You know, yeah, he's talented, you know, but he's not going to, you know, move the needle for the Knicks. And thank God they were wrong, because this guy, he took us to that next level that we needed, man. All these prima donna superstars, you know, they didn't want to take their ball, you know, and their talent to
KD.
New York City. Yeah, KD. Yeah, I'm looking straight at you, KD. Yeah, aren't you glad you didn't come to the Knicks? Yeah, that's what happened. Look what happened. You got knocked out of the second round just like us, a day before we did. All right.
A day earlier.
A day earlier. So you wasn't gonna get a chip anyway. You know what? Maybe you could have gotten a chip with us. Had you went to us, we would have had that guy to help out, Brunson, who literally did everything. He was standing on his head, doing cartwheels, backflips, doing assists, scoring, you know, selling hot dogs to the fans in the stands, even though there was no game yesterday at MSG. Like, he was doing it all. But no, KD, you and your prima donna superstars don't have the guts to come to New York and bring a title on your shoulders and end this drought. Because at this rate, if we don't help ourselves by drafting and you know, building a culture, these superstars don't care if we have a Chicago Cubs like drought at this rate. Because yep. It's crazy, man. We 50 years, man. Our 50th anniversary literally happened, like, what was it, May 10th, 1973? Last time we won the title, man. You know, it's like, when is this drought ever going to end? And then, you know, we had a good season. Brunson, like, you know, again, that's a true MVP. The guy who should have been an all-star if they were going to pick somebody. You know, obviously they pick Randle. Randle had a good season, because obviously when Randle has a good season, we make it to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Randle should have been also as well, but if you had to choose one, it should have been Brunson. Brunson should have had his first ever all-star appearance, because that's not much of an impact he had on the team. And yesterday was evident with his, 41 points he had. And like I said to you, you know, before the game started, because me and you, we went to the viewing event at MSG last night. First time either of us ever went to something like that. And the fans, we brought it, man. We were cheering defense while the team was on the road. Like, I mean, it was, you know, it was a great experience. Unfortunately, we didn't get the W, which unfortunately that's something I'm used to, going to these events, sporting events. Most of the time, my teams end up with an L, you know. But you, fortunately, you went to back-to-back games, Game 5, the real game, the legit game at MSG, and then you went to Game 6 with me last night. So yeah. Tell me your whole experience about both games, and you know, your thoughts on everything. I could go more in depth, but I like to hear your side of the story.
Yeah, no, Game 5, I went to. That was the elimination game for the Knicks, because they were down 3-1. And at the Garden went there Wednesday night, and man, the fans were loud. That's the loudest. I've been to several games at MSG before, but that was the loudest that I've ever heard Madison Square Garden. Fans were just really into it. And they pumped up the Knicks, man. Knicks ended up winning that game and having their best game of their best offensive game of the series, I thought. You know, that night. So we win that game, and then come back Friday night. Knicks were on the road playing in Miami, another elimination game. Although this was a viewing party that me and you attended last night.
Mm-hmm.
And thousands of fans packed an arena. Just as loud, but, you know, not that loud, because, you know, it wasn't a sold-out event because it wasn't live. So we were watching the game on the Jumbotron. But fans were much into it. It felt like an actual game, a live game was taking place. That's how loud it was on Friday as well. And, yeah, man, fans were even chanting defense as if the Knicks could hear them through the screen.
Yep.
And that, you know, the Knicks got off to a good start in that game six. You know, you got out to like a 12-14 point lead in the first quarter there. It looked like we were on the way to blowing out the Heat in their own, in our own arena, but our defense got shaky, our offense stalled a bit, and yeah. And you know what happened after that? You know, Brunson was our MVP of the series. He carried us throughout, and without him, man, we probably could have got swept by a Heat. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great experience for both Game 5 and Game 6. You know, to go to MSG and experience both games, one live, one not. It was a very good season, despite the disappointing ending. You know, the Knicks, we fans, we have to be optimistic, even though the Knicks haven't given us that much to be optimistic about, you know, these last two decades. We can hopefully build off this season and come back and be better next year.
So which experience did you enjoy better, Game 5 or Game 6?
Oh, definitely Game 5. I mean, it was a live game. It was a live game. But the viewing party, that is something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. We just know it was never in this series, man. We lost Game 1. You know, Randall was hurt that first game, and we were just trying to play catch up. You know, we won game two to even the series, you know, to save face, because, you know, we should have won those first two games to make a statement and show the NBA and especially the Heat that, you know, we're in this to win it, this series, you know what I mean? But we lost game one, and that set us on a bad tone. That we never, and a whole, we never really recovered. Yeah, we did tie it up in game two. And then we lost game three and four, which we had to have won one of those games for sure. You know what I mean? To have a legit chance. But we lost those games, so hence we were down 3-1, went to MSG, which you did. And so the Knicks avoid elimination for one game. You know, had their best performance. And then, like, you know, that David Copperfield story, it was the tale of two cities, I should say. You know, it was the best of time and the worst of times, you know. Kind of like the John Starks game of, you know, game six and game seven of the NBA Finals of 94, where John Starks had his best game of his career, and in game seven he had his worst game of his career. Like, so, yeah, man, like, it's just messed up. The Bam Adebayo, man, he just manhandled everybody, especially Mitchell Robinson. After Mitchell Robinson, you know, stopped the modern day Twin Towers of the Cavaliers, he didn't do anything. I mean, he'd even wipe Adebayo's nose after he booed them out. like a runny nose, man. Like, he didn't do anything. Like, he didn't do nothing that series, man. And then, of course, you know, your boy, you know, since you're the president of the fan club, you know, I hope you're officially going to live on the air right now and resign as the president, you know, and CEO of the Julius Randle's fan club, you know, because that guy, he killed us, man. He killed us this series. You know, his turnovers. Yes, he's a very talented guy. No one could take that away from him. He's a very talented guy. When he goes, the Knicks go. You know what I mean? But the problem is, this guy, you know, he jacks up so many threes. He's a chump. And when he does pass the ball, it's when they have bad spacing. And he just causes so many turnovers, man. I'm done. I'm done with him, man. And the problem is that you're not going to really get good value from it, even though he had his best, you know, his best season of his career. I mean, it was this one and 2 years ago, or should I say 3 years ago, when he had his best years, you know what I mean? But the book is out on him. You know, he's a good regular season player, but when the postseason comes, he folds like a like a cheap chair, folding chair, man. Like you can't trust them, man. And I'm gonna admit something. I'm wrong. I was wrong, man. I'll admit it on this show. I was wrong. I always said that in order for the Knicks to win a championship, Julius Randle has to be the third or fourth option on this team. And guess what? After watching this series, it's been abundantly clear. For us to win a title, he has to be traded. I'm sorry. Like, I'm done. Like, so many times, you know, the Knicks fans, you know, we embrace him, and, you know, we give him a chance. We chant MVP, MVP, and, you know, when everything's going great, you know, he does his interviews, la-di-da-di-da, everything's great. But when we lose, he don't want to do no interviews. To his credit, he did do an interview yesterday, you know. But for the most part, I'm just saying, like, he's a very good scorer, you know. He's a great rebounder. But the dude don't play no D, and when the chips are down, that's when he throws it. He causes so many turnovers, man. And then it was evident with that last play with him and Brunson with 16 seconds left in the game. Like, they killed whatever 1% chance they had of trying to come back from that game. And you know what's the funny thing is? Before the game happened, days ago, even when after we won game 5, you know, I just had a bad feeling about the game. But, you know, Friday – you know, I felt the optimism. I was like, you know what? Maybe they could come back and win game 6. You know, they pulled a Charlie Brown on me, man. You know, they were like Lucy. Like, they dangled the football, like, hey, maybe you can get this win. Maybe you could get this win. And sure enough, the Knicks, they had a 14-point lead. And before you could say the first quarter is over, they cough it up, man, and that was the end of the game. It was like they might have tied the game maybe once or twice the whole rest of the game afterwards. They couldn't take the lead, man. It's like the Heat, man. They torture us, man. They torture us, and the Knicks flamed out of the playoffs, man. When the Heat in the moment came, they choked, man, and now the Knicks have to go back to New York with their tails between their legs in the heat of the night while the Heat advance. Man, Pat Riley beats us again.
No.
And then Spoelstra, you know, he's being stoic, but you know he's doing cartwheels inside of his body during the game, man, because Adebayo destroyed us. I didn't even talk about Jimmy Butler. We've been talking this whole time. We didn't even mention Jimmy Butler this whole time. Like, Jimmy Butler, he did what he came to do, because we are what we thought we were. That's why. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jimmy Butler did what he did. Adebayo, you know, he just destroyed us, man. Like, RJ Barrett, he played well in the first couple of games in the playoffs. You know, he scored early, you know, in the games. But this game, he only scored 10 points, and then he disappeared for the rest of the game. You know, he disappeared. Randle didn't do nothing. Mitchell Robinson, I mean, did the guy even get a foul? Him and Randle were not in foul trouble, whereas Brunson was in foul trouble the whole game. You know what I mean? Like, it was just insane, man. And we didn't even play Derrick Rose, who has postseason experience. We could have played Fournier, who was actually a three-point shooter, unlike Randle, who misses most of the free throws. I mean, three-point and free throws too, because when you want him to make a free throw, he can't hit a free throw. Like, I mean, like, I don't even know what to say right now, man. It was just a wash of a series, man.
Now, as bad as Julius Randle was, it's easy to put the blame on him right now, right? Easy to disrespect him right now, but let's remember, let me remind you something, that this is a team sport, and this
mm-hmm,
is not
correct.
Solely on Randall, because
of course it's not.
RJ Barrett did not play good in last night's game either.
Agreed.
Robinson didn't play good in this series at all. Like
he
you
played
mentioned,
good in this playoff. I don't think either.
In the Cleveland series, he played well. He had a lot of offensive rebounds.
Well,
played very
true.
Well in that game and played good defense. This series, he's non-existent. He got outplayed by Adebayo, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't play well in this entire series. Also, our defense, compared to the last series against Cleveland, our defense was not good. We gave up so many open threes in this series. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
To a lot of their bench players. I mean, we made the Miami Heat bench players look like all-stars.
Mm-hmm.
We had Robinson and some of these other guys, they were shooting threes like it was nothing at times. Also, Thibodeau didn't make adjustments.
Nope.
He didn't make adjustments. I mean, you could have surprised him. You could have brought Fournier off the bench. Help you with the offense game. Once quickly got injured, you could have used Fournier.
Rose.
And Rose. Yeah, both of them. But we didn't. We just had them sitting on the bench. For what?
For nothing.
For nothing. It didn't make any sense. We never made adjustments. So that's Thibodeau's fault.
That's
so,
true.
So, you know, all those things led to us losing. So it wasn't only Randall. It was a number of the factors. I mean, Randall was part of the problem, but he wasn't solely the problem. You know?
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things we need to fix. You know, this offseason, we got to get more shooters. Or maybe one or two more shooters, I guess. I don't know if we'll be able to trade Randall. I mean, I know Knicks fans always want to trade him. I don't know if we can. You know, we'll see if that's even possible. But if not, then you're just gonna have to stick with him because you know, at the moment, he's our best player or second best player on this team. And you know, if you want to believe it or not, without him this season, I mean. We probably don't even get the fifth seed. So you need him to pair alongside Brunson right now. I mean, if you trade him, who are you going to rely on? Barrett? I still think Barrett is inconsistent, even though Barrett played well in this postseason at times. You know? Barrett has to show me that on a nightly basis. You know, last night he reverted back to the regular season Barrett
mm-hmm.
where he was up and down. So
right.
I got to see that on a regular basis. But Brunson, man. Yeah, this guy, he needs to retire as a Knick, and hopefully he continues to play
Amen.
Well as a Knick.
Hopefully we could re-sign his Villanova teammate, Josh Hart, man.
Yeah, Josh. You know, the Josh Hart, he played very good in this postseason, but in this series he kind of disappointed me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of disappointed me a little bit. I mean, I know, but Butler, if you look at it, Butler didn't really have a great series against us. It was
right.
It was the Heat bench and their 3-point shooting that was killing us. And Kyle Lowry as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Adebayo. Those were the guys that were killing. Butler didn't really go off. I don't think Butler even had a 30-point game in the series.
Yeah, and leading up to the series, he was averaging like 37 points. So we did stop him, but the problem is he was able
to stop the other guys.
We didn't stop the other guys, and they were jacking up threes. Like, in the game, we our 3 points and our free throw shooting were very close, but the difference was they just was destroying us in the paint. We couldn't stop them in the paint. The game should have been a lot closer than it was. I mean, yes, we did. The game ended, what was it, like maybe a four, what was it, 96-94 or something? I know, 96-92, I think it was. But yeah, man, we should have blown those guys out when we had a chance in the first quarter. But we couldn't even once what's his name? Once Brunson got into foul trouble, that's when the floodgates happened, and we couldn't stop the momentum that the Heat was having. They had like at least seven old runs in them, and like in the first quarter, like we couldn't stop them.
Yeah. I mean. And I don't want to hear Robinson being sensitive about criticism. And Robinson, mm-hmm. like, you always want the ball. You want to be part of the offense more. But you can't do anything offensively, man. Come on.
Yep.
he's got to improve his offensive game in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, he's only good at the alley-oop.
Yeah, that's it.
And they shut him down this series.
Yeah.
Whereas, I think it was game one where Kevin Love had like three or four consecutive like alley-oop passes, half-court passes that all scored. Like, it was crazy, man. They just destroyed us, man.
Yeah.
It's like a bad dream.
Yeah, well.
It is what it is, man.
Well, I mean, the Heat were just a better team. They just wanted it more than the Knicks.
Yep.
You got to give them credit.
And they're undersized, but they still play with heart and they dominated us.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you just got to tip your cap to them.
Yep, the Heat is on. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, basically, the Heat, they are going to be, what? They're going to be facing the winner of the 76ers-Celtics series because the series is, dead even at 3, and they're going to play Game 7 this afternoon. Wait, what was I going to say? No, wait a minute. Wasn't there – wait, let me just do the math here.
Yeah, it's Game 7.
Yeah, Game 7, right. And then the other series, Lakers eliminated the Warriors. They won game, what was it, game six it was. Let me see.
Yeah, that was game six.
Yeah, game six, right. 122-101. LeBron James, I think for the second time ever, knocked off Curry, which obviously the first time he did it was when KD was on the team. You know, when
The first time he did it was KD wasn't on the team yet.
No, I'm talking about when he knocked off the Warriors. Oh, no,
yeah,
you're
KD
right,
wasn't
you're right.
on the team.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because that offseason is when they got KD.
Yeah.
Right, you're right, you're right. They blew the 3-1 lead. They blew the 3-1 lead when Draymond Green was hurt or suspended, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
And they blew a 3-1 lead. They lost the series, and then Warriors panicked, and then they all they needed to do was win one game out of the three series, and they signed KD, and then they won, I think, two straight, I think, that year, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, what was I gonna say? Yeah, so this is the second time, to my knowledge, that LeBron team defeated the Warriors with Curry.
Yeah, that's very surprising. I thought Warriors were gonna win that series.
Yeah, I thought so too. But you can never doubt the Lakers. Lakers are the Yankees of basketball, so. You know, whenever Lakers are in the playoffs, you know, they always have a shot of winning. And I think it's gonna be Lakers Heat in the finals. I think Heat's gonna defeat.
Nuggets look good right now, though. Nuggets look very good.
That is true.
I mean, Jokic is playing well, man. I don't know.
No joke.
Nuggets look unbeatable right now. I don't know if anything can beat them.
I think Lakers will shock them and beat them.
We'll see.
But Nuggets, they're a scary team.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you're right. But, you know, it's basketball. You got paper ain't nothing until the game's official and you put it in the books. But, yeah, it is what it is, man. We'll keep you posted on what's going on in the playoffs as the playoffs go along. But one thing we know for sure is that the Knicks will not be snapping their 50-year drought on the 50th year anniversary of their last championship. which ironically the late great Willis Reed, you know, passed away in very recently. So yeah, man. The struggle and the drought continues. And speaking of, you know, MSG, the Rangers got eliminated, you know, against the Devils recently. So there, yet another year, they will not be, you know, after 94, another year where neither the Rangers or the Knicks will win a championship. So, I mean, it is what it is. And I think Devils just got eliminated too, I think. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Carolina Hurricanes who knocked them off.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, let me just...
Did they get swept?
Did they get swept? Let me see. That's a good question.
Because I thought that series just started.
No, they didn't get swept. They lost in five.
Oh, okay. So they won one game.
Yeah, the Hurricanes won the final game on Thursday night by the final score of 3-2 in Carolina. Let me see what else is going on. So, yeah, it looks like what was I going to say? Yeah, right now, the Vegas Golden Knights, they're leading the series 3-2. And then the Seattle Kraken and the Dallas Stars are tied 3-3. Let's see. The Panthers beat the Maple Leafs 4-1. The Devils losing to the Hurricanes. So yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted with that as well. In the coming weeks, when there's a new Stanley Cup champion, and of course a new NBA champion as well. But yeah, let's shift gears. The New York Yankees, they've been playing better lately. After they, you know, recently they were in last place. The Yankees have been having some big comeback wins. Aaron Judge hit two home runs, and the Yankees overcame, I think, a 6-0 deficit.
Yep.
Yesterday, Rizzo hit two home runs yesterday on his Mandalorian bobblehead game.
Yep.
I mean, the Yankees, you know, the Yankees are doing their thing, man. What's your thought, Yankee man? Yankee boy.
Yeah, so, you know, this season so far has been an up-and-down season with injuries and the offense not playing well. Pitching has been up and down as well. But, yeah, these last few games against the Rays, we've showed some life, especially now with Aaron Judge back from his injury. As you mentioned, he hit the two home runs today. Yankees won 9-8 against the Rays, and then yesterday they won 6-5. So hopefully, you know, this could be a turnaround for the Yankee season. I mean, right now they're sitting in last place. And they're actually, no, Red Sox lost tonight. So actually Red Sox are now in last place. And Yankees are 7 games behind the Rays. And Rays, man, they're looking unstoppable. They're 30-11, and they're beating everybody. And I think you guys play them next, so you guys got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
Very careful of those Rays. But right now, the Yankees, hopefully this will be a turnaround for the Yankee season. Hopefully they can get it together.
Yeah, man, you're not joking at all. The Yankees are playing a lot better. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are moving in the right direction.
Yep.
Whereas shifting gears, the Mets, Dale, and Mets are
You guys are under 500 right now, it looks like.
What did you say?
I was just looking at your record. You're one game under 500?
Yeah, that sounds about right, because the Mets, they can't score any runs. They give up a bunch of runs in the first inning, which is very un-Mets-like in recent history. The pitching has been horrible. The offense has been horrible. But other than that, the Mets are doing pretty great. You know, you know what I'm saying? They hit when we're not pitching well, and when we're pitching well, we're not hitting. Sound like a Jacob DeGrom start when you think about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Mets.
You wish you're still with the team, huh? Jacob DeGrom.
He's technically still with the team because he keeps going on the IL. So it's like he's always with them. It's like he's still with the Mets, you know.
Yep.
But you know. I mean, it is what it is. Did I want him to leave? No, I didn't. But, I mean, I moved on. You know, I accept the truth. You know, I was, you know, the president of his fan club. You know, I wanted this guy to retire a Met, even though he was injury prone. But, you know, he did what he has to do. He took his talents to Texas. So, you know, I wish him good luck, except when he's facing the Mets. So. I mean, it is what it is. But
you got the Braves playing well also in your division.
What else is new? Last two years, we were the leaders of the division until like the very end of the season, and we choked both years, and we spent more time in the lead of the division, but we don't have nothing to show for it. Kind of like 07 and 08, you know,
right.
The collapse years. So it is what it is, man. The Mets, you know, if Lindor and Alonso don't hit a home run, we're going to lose the game. And a rarity a few days ago, Alvarez hit two home runs. I think it was in the Reds game. You know, in the Red Series, Alvarez hit two home runs, his first multi-home run games. Alonso went deep. Lindor went deep. And we still lost that game, I think, 7-6, because we were down a huge hole, and we never got out of it. Maybe a 7-1 hole or something. I don't even remember. But, yeah, the team hasn't been doing good. I mean, they won on Friday night, which was yesterday, 3-2, because Lindor hit a three-run single, and, you know, Miguel kept them in the game. And then, you know, they got the win with Drew Smith's first Major League save to get that last out, secure the victory. So congrats to him. Congrats to Justin Verlander getting his first win as a Met. With his first Met win, you know, he tied the season with a 1-1 record. And as a result, Justin Verlander became, I think, what was it, the 21st pitcher in Major League history to beat all the Major League teams, all 30 teams. So congrats to him.
Congrats.
Last person to do it was Scherzer a few years ago. I think the first person to ever do that mark was Al Leiter when he was with the Mets. It might have been in 2003, if my memory serves me right. But, you know, congratulations to Verlander. He kept us in the game for sure. He dominated, went seven innings, struck out seven. He had a pretty good start. I think we won that game 2-1, if I'm not mistaken. The Mets, man, they need to get their scoring. Vogelbach hasn't been cutting it. He's like the Julius Randle of the Mets. even though he's not the star player. But a guy with his pop, you know, he's a poor man's Schwarber, except instead of trying to hit home runs, he wants to take walks and get on base, you know, instead of, you know, swinging the bat. I mean, the guy, you know, he got that Otis, you know, from WWE / Chris Farley, you know, gimmick, you know, of this, you know, seem like a, you know, a nice guy type of dude, but, you know, he's not cutting it as a player. You know what I mean? You need results. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, man, this team needs to get their act together. So, yeah, that's basically my thoughts on that. Then you shift gears to Backlash, man. What's your thoughts on the Backlash pay-per-view event?
I thought it was not bad. It was a good event. Trying to remember what matches I liked. I guess the Cody Rhodes against Lesnar was a decent mm-hmm. match.
Mm-hmm.
With Lesnar bleeding. Mm-hmm. What other good matches were there?
There was the Zelina Vega versus Rhea Ripley match.
There wasn't that many good matches when I think about it. In that pay per view,
I think what made the pay per view memorable was the Puerto Rican fans were really into it.
Yeah,
like
for
like
Bad Bunny.
Yeah, like how they were into like how MSG was, you know, the fans of MSG were
right.
into the Knicks series. You know,
yes,
yeah. I think that's what really took the pay per view on a higher level than what the card. You know, debuted.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, because of their fandom, they definitely should have more events, you know, there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's see what... let's recap. Bianca Belair, she defeated Io Sky to retain the Raw Women's Championship. Seth freaking Rollins defeat Omos. I mean, Omos lost two back-to-back pay-per-view events. I mean...
Yeah, like, this guy's supposed to be a big, bad giant.
Shit, for real. Like, I mean, come on, man. What is up with that? He should have destroyed Seth Rollins. And then not to mention Seth Rollins, he's going to compete against AJ Styles, which was Omos' former master. I mean, you know, his friend and tag team partner, you know, during, you know, his, you know, early on in his... his career. So Seth Rollins, you know, it would have made more sense for Seth Rollins to lose to Omos, could, you know, hype up Omos, and then Seth Rollins gonna win the title. I mean, or most likely win the title against AJ Styles at the upcoming Night of Champions thing, and Seth Rollins would have been okay, right? Right, Mac?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you, so I was...
I thought you were asking the fans.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, that would have made more sense, you know, because he keeps taking too many L's, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Seth Rollins losing to Omos wouldn't have hurt him at all. You got Austin Theory defeating Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed by pinfall, which to me, now I think Bobby Lashley needed this W. Austin Theory is a heel. I mean, Lashley did grow out of the United States Championship, but yeah, I mean, Austin Theory defeating Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed, I don't know, don't look believable. I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem believable at all. Those guys are twice his size. You know what I mean? Bobby Lashley is a former world heavyweight champion. Austin Theory defeating Bobby Lashley, like, is not believable at all. but it is what it is. He's still the reigning United States champion. Then you had Rhea Ripley versus Zelina Vega. You had the LWO pop up. You had Carlito and Savio Vega make their long-awaited returns to WWE. And Zelina Vega, no relations to Savio Vega, I mean, which kind of reminds me of Tiny Toons, the reboot. They are going to bring back Tiny Toons Adventure, which was one of the best cartoons of all time. Came out in the 90s. And the running gag was, you know, I'm Babs, I'm Buster, no relations. But then with this remake or reboot, whatever they want to call it, they're brothers and sisters, so they can't even use that tagline anymore. And it, to me, that ruins the show. Because
it's very strange.
It's weird. Like, how are you going to ruin the show? Like, how are you going to ruin the show like that? So you might as well say it's a remake. It's not it can't be a reboot, because did they get a DNA test or something? Did they do an ancestry thing and find out they're brothers and sisters? I mean, let's hope they didn't have a Luke and Leia moment for Empire Strike Back, you know, because, I mean, that's a very weird situation. But that's how, unlike the Power Rangers special that you saw, you know, which honored the past of the shows, you know, even though I didn't see it personally. At least they kept the continuity intact, whereas Tiny Toon Adventures was just, like, changing the lineage and storylines of the show. I mean, we could go into more in-depth of that, but, I mean, it is what it is. What can you say? But, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest, a San Juan street fight. You know, that's one of the matches people really want to see. Probably right behind the Cody Rhodes Brock Lesnar match. And Rhea Ripley versus Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega, she's paid her dues in wrestling, period. So I mean, it's a great honor for her to have an opportunity to compete for the title and hopefully become a future world champion. And she dedicates the match to her father, you know, who unfortunately passed away on 9/11, you know, because of the tragedy. And, you know, her and her father grew up watching wrestling. They were, fans of The Rock, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero. So, you know, her joining the LWO, you know, has a significance, you know, her working with Rey Mysterio and then her competing, you know, in front of her people being, you know, Puerto Rican descent, you know, a New Yorker, you know, and then a lot to her. Representing the Puerto Rican flag in front of her family, her people. So that was a great moment in it within itself. And then Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, similar, they're both of Puerto Rican descent as well. And Bad Bunny defeated his quote former friend Damian Priest. In the match. Then you have the Solo Sikoa, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso lose to Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a match that, if I'm not mistaken, the Usos dedicated to Roman Reigns and then lost that match. And then as a result on SmackDown, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa are going to try to take back the titles from Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But this time, they're going to dedicate according to Roman Reigns, they're going to dedicate the tag team victory win to the greatest tag team, the Wild Samoans, which was basically a slight at the Usos. So Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa are going to team up for the first time ever and fight for the tag titles. And then you know what I think is going to happen, Mac?
What's going to happen?
I think your theory of Jimmy and Jey Uso costing, you know, losing the titles is going to come into play now. Because you were suspecting that Jey Uso was going to cost, you know, was going to
I think it's too late.
Yeah. But I think this time they're going to purposely do it because now, you know, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa are, you know, they're taking their shine. They're the tag team, you know, that should be competing to regain the title. And now Roman Reigns is just going to take it out of spite away from the Usos.
Yeah, it's possible.
And they were teasing Jimmy was going to attack Roman Reigns after Roman Reigns slapped him. But, yeah, we'll definitely find out about that. And then last but not least, Cody Rhodes defeated Brock Lesnar by pinfall, an upset. And as a result, Brock Lesnar got bloodied and bust up, and he interfered in the match. Cody Rhodes qualifying for the title, the World Heavyweight title, and Brock Lesnar F5'd them twice, and the second time was through the table, the announcer's table, and Brock Lesnar demands a rematch at the Night of Champions. So that should be an interesting matchup within itself.
Yeah.
And in Impact, it is confirmed Trinity made her debut, and she's going to compete for the Impact Knockouts champion against Deonna Purrazzo for the title. So we'll see what happens with that. Anything else, Mac, you'd like to say before we head out?
Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. And check out your local listings for my show, iMac. And come back here to check out Sports of Religion every Saturdays at 11 p.m. only on Block Talk Radio.
You're the man. Check out his show, iMac. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports of Religion TV. And, of course, check out Sports of Religion every Saturday at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Especially thank you, ladies, for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful and blessed Mother's Day. You know, shout out to the mothers and the future mothers, you know, of the world. And thank you for all that you do. And I hope you enjoy Mother's Day today. So with that, I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.